Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We're rolling out the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio a little earlier than normal. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and with me is Dan the Man, whose new favorite catchphrase is spicy chicken choop choop for some reason. I don't want to know about it. Anyways, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a new one of those popping up there pretty soon. While you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 380.
All right, Dan. Now, you're going to have to be the guy to defend your fellow Cub fans, because, you know, I deal with a lot of them, and what I can't figure out here is, you know, now obviously everybody knows we have two teams in Chicago. The White Sox aren't very good right now. You know, they're trying to do what the Cubs did and the Astros did and the Braves are doing and everybody else is doing in Major League Baseball. But what I can't figure out, Dan, is why that's not good enough for Cub fans. You know, I mean, obviously they're the better team. They should go to the playoffs. If they don't, I'll say it again, Joe Maddon should be fired, because anytime a team like this doesn't make the playoffs, the manager should go. Why do the fans always go to the attendance thing, Dan? I mean, this is nothing new. The Cubs have always outdrawn the White Sox. I think even back in the 70s when the Cubs couldn't get 10,000 people into Wrigley Field, you know, before they had lights and Dan was even born, the Cubs used to draw poorly as well, but they still outdrew the White Sox. I think if you go back to 2006, the White Sox won the World Series, but I believe if you double-check the attendance, which I will try to bing here while Dan answers me, I believe the Cubs outdrew them. So I don't get this, Dan. Do they not understand really how petty and stupid that kind of makes them sound when they go that route?
I mean, when we're amongst friends, you know, myself and some Sox fans, friends and family, you know, you might give them a little jab and they're going to give you the crap back. But I think after the Cubs won the World Series, I mean, the debate is over, and throwing out the attendance thing really doesn't do a whole lot.
Yeah, here, I mean, I found it out in 2006, the Cubs drew 3,000, you know, a little over 3,000, 1 million people to their stadium. The Sox drew a little under 29. They were at 295,7414. So the White Sox won the frickin' World Series and the Cubs outdrew them. And I don't understand why this is the crutch that these guys fall on. I listen to these idiots at work all the time. We got Cubs fans, Sox fans, Brewers fans, you know, they all work in, you know, the same place. So they argue about a bunch of stupid stuff. And every time there's some Cub fan goes, well, nobody goes to the White Sox games. Well, yeah, idiot. Nobody's been going to the White Sox games for how many years? I mean, the Cubs are in an area where they're built to succeed. And no matter what they've tried around, well, guaranteed rate, it's never going to be that. You know, it's never going to be Wrigley. It's never going to be Fenway. It doesn't have that in-city type of atmosphere. But, man, yet these morons are always really quick to go, well, nobody goes to the games. You know, shut up. You sound like a moron.
Yeah, well, you would even, you know, I mean, and that's, I think, comes a little bit more from uneducated, so to speak, fans. And I don't mean that in a they don't have a college or high school degree sense. I mean, as opposed to the game. you know, you throw those punches out when you really don't have any other information about the actual team. And, you know, like you mentioned, they've tried, I don't think they've tried hard enough, to be honest with you. And that's not coming from the Sox side of it. You know, the redevelopment of the city. And that's the one thing that has always confused the hell out of me. You know, granted, Mayor Daley hasn't been in office since sometime in the 2000s. I can't remember when. But, you know, I mean, that's one of the things I never understood. You know, supposedly he's a diehard White Sox fan, and he's the one who helped them get the state funding so that they didn't pick up and move to Florida, which I don't know if that was, seeing, even when I look back on that, I, knowing what I know now, I'm wondering if that was just a threat, an empty threat nonetheless, because let's be honest, Jerry Reinsdorf's the owner. He owns the Chicago Bulls at the same time. What was he going to do, pick up the Bulls and the White Sox and take them both to Florida? I really don't think so, and I don't think he was going to run the Bulls in Chicago and run the White Sox in, you know, let's just say Sarasota or somewhere in that, Daytona, somewhere down in Florida. I don't think that was going to happen either. Excuse me. So, you know, I never understood why or how, you know, why Daley and, you know, the aldermen and all those people, the politics of it all just didn't do something to turn that area around. And you can tell me that there's hoops to jump through. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you to shut that hall up because this is Chicago politics. And Chicago politics up until maybe now were probably not as hard to get things through. I mean, in the 2000s, you know, or no, prior to 2011 or no, 2001, I don't know. I can't remember exactly, but, you know, Daley went and overnight ripped down an airport that was on the lake. Just overnight. Just did it. So you can't tell me they couldn't do stuff to put more in around to make G-Ray Field more of a destination. But, you know, I mean, they finally added a metro train stop for all the Southsiders within the last 5 to 10 years. That's something that, in my opinion, should have been done back in the 80s. But, you know, what do I know? So,
he tried to give, you know, businesses incentives and stuff to, you know, to move down there, but it's just not a great location for, fans to hang out. It's just, you know, there's nobody, you know, I guess they tried to do it, but yeah, the train stop, I don't understand why that wasn't there all along. You know, you think that just makes logical sense, right? I mean, in a city where you really don't want to drive unless you have to, or you just love to drive, you know, that made perfect sense. And it took till, when did they put it in?
I don't even know. I think it was in within the last 10 years.
So, but yeah, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things that baffle me. It's like, really, you know, come on. You look at these two teams, I mean, you can talk about, you know, Rizzo and Bryant and, you know, Baez and your guy Ian Happ and, you know, all those guys, you know, compared to the White Sox young guys and how much better the team is. And, you know, every time, oh, well, nobody's going to the game. You know, I just want to punch people in the face. You know, it's probably a good thing I can't, because that would just be bad. I'd be calling you for bail.
Yeah, according to a website I found online, it wasn't opened until 2010. So we've only had this train station or train stop that services the entire south side of Chicago. South side Irish, you know, I mean, not that it has anything to do with it, but south side of Chicago, which is the White Sox, it just opened 8 years ago.
Jeez.
So, I mean,
so, yeah, that, I mean,
you know, I mean,
would have been something they would have.
You know, and to be honest, the great thing for White Sox fans with the fact that their draw isn't as great as Wrigley Field might have is the promos. You're not going to go to a Cubs game and get a free jersey as a promo. You can go to, you're going to go to White Sox teams. You're going to get a hell of a lot of awesome promo stuff. I mean, this is one I didn't even, I didn't know how I feel about the Hawks, but I was contemplating going to the game when they had Hawk Solo bobblehead day. Tell me that is not an awesome promotion. You know what I mean? Hawk Solo, you got to be kidding me. That's freaking awesome. I'm going to go, I wanted to go to the game just for that, and I don't even like the Hawk. He annoys me.
Well, I did want the James Patterson, Paxton bobblehead. Where did you see the Mariners have with the eagle on his shoulder?
You might have to watch eBay.
Yeah. But you know, like looking, you know, looking at attendance for this year, the Sox are actually 28th in attendance. They're only ahead of you. You could probably guess the two teams at the bottom. Dan, take, I'll give you a couple guesses before I throw them at you. Who are the worst two drawing teams in Major League Baseball?
Oakland and the Rays.
The Rays are one of them. I'll give you the hint. The worst drawing team in baseball is in the same state as the Rays.
The Marlins.
Yeah, the White Sox draw 15,950 to their games. The Marlins are just over 10,000. 10,603 is the average attendance at Marlins Park this year. So, yeah, and the number one is the Dodgers. The Dodgers average 42.459 for every home game.
How much?
46,459.
Wow. Where are the Giants at? Because they usually fell out.
The Giants are fourth. Your top five are Dodgers, Cardinals, Yankees, Giants, and Angels. And then 6 through 10 are Cubs, Astros, Red Sox, Rockies, and Brewers. So, you know what I mean? If you remember just a few years ago, the Astros were towards the bottom. So winning does the club good. You know, if you can put together a winner, with the exception of being in Cleveland, for some reason, Indians fans just don't go to games. They're actually 26th. So believe it or not, the A's actually outdrawn the Indians, if you can believe that. In that's one of the worst stadiums in baseball. What is it, O.co? I think it still is.
Yeah.
But yeah, they actually needed to outdraw the Indians, who were in the World Series 2 years ago, and you know were a contender last year. And they're not off to the best start, but I think they're still leading the pitiful AL Central. But yeah, they're 26th out of 30 in attendance.
Yeah, well, the A's are only beating them because they had 50,000 people who sell out show up for a free game for their 50th anniversary.
So, but yeah, it looks like Cleveland is the lowest of what you would call the winning teams. You know, even Philadelphia having a pretty good year is 18th. You know, normally the Philadelphia fans are big time, especially when it comes to winning. You know, the Eagles coming off the Super Bowl and the 76ers making the playoffs, but apparently they're not on the Phillies bandwagon yet. So,
yeah, but I hear the Philadelphia fans are a little bit more cynical or
insane.
I was just trying to be nice.
Oh, all right. Yeah, no, I think everybody knows. Any sports fan who's followed me for a while realizes that the Philly fans are pretty much off the rocker when it comes to stuff. You know, I mean, there's the famous cheering Michael Irvin from getting injured and then throwing stuff at Santa Claus. So. You know, it's definitely. You know, definitely been, you know, definitely fun to be a Philly fan. All right. Well, you know, let's run away from the attendance stuff. I got to listen to your, what has kind of turned into your favorite pastime here, Dan, over and over. As you know, the Orioles are in town and Manny Machado just happened to hit a bomb last night. So, after the game, what did they ask him about? Being traded to the Cubs. Oh no, did I lose Dan? Yeah, Dan fell off. It figures. I was figuring he was getting close to that spot where he was going to drift off. There we go. He's right back in. So there you go, Dan. Did you hear my my little thing there?
I just heard the Orioles are in town.
Yes, and Manny Machado hit a monster home run. So he did the post-game interview, and I believe the very first question they asked him was trade rumors to the Cubs.
And what did he say?
Isn't that where you would want to? Well, you know, he was, you know, the, you know, he held the line of, you know, it's not going to affect the way I play. You know, it's part of, you know, it's a business, you know, all that kind of stuff. So he, you know, he definitely did the, you know, the right thing. But the humorous thing that I get a kick out of is, everybody keeps talking about him and Albert Almora getting to play together because they're cousins. I didn't realize they were related. Somehow I don't think people seem to realize that if this trade goes down, there's a really good chance that Almora will be one of the guys going the other way. So it's just kind of humorous that they're like, oh yeah, you know, it'll be so, you know, they'll be able to play together and it'll be so great and, you know, this and that. And, you know, I think that was one of the things they even asked Machado about was playing with Almora. And he just mentioned how he got a ring and it was, you know, he got his ring first and all that other stuff. And yeah, it was just kind of like, morons, you know, it's really, you know, I mean, it's baffling to me because it's almost like these guys, you know, they write about it, but it's almost like they don't pay attention to what's going on. You know, I mean, you would think any guy would know that, you know, in a deal like this, you know, there's a better than average chance, especially with the way the Cubs handle Almora, that he would be a guy they would easily be willing to give up, and he's young, controllable major league talent. So he would be something the Orioles would look for in return. But yeah, you know, they just want to talk about, you know, they need something to talk about. So they go with the relations thing. So look at that. I lost Dan again. That's twice. Boy, it's not even Wednesday and we're having these problems. So yeah, you know, that again, that it kind of baffles me. And I don't know if these guys are just, maybe they're afraid to ask the tougher questions like that. So it's not even Wednesday, Dan. What the heck's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're just too early. I was going to say it's funny because I was listening to one of the, you know, the one idiot that, you know, works on local radio. I don't know how he still has a job. But, you know, I mean, and it's not the ESPN affiliate. The other guys, you know, the evening idiot.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much have this trade done, deal signed, you know, have Machado come to the Cubs, it's going to work out. But, of course, he can't tell you who they'd be sending the other way back east. But, you know, it was funny because he actually did kind of, you know, instead of being a jerk about it, he shut down a couple of fans that, you know, I was laughing about because, I mean, at the end of the day, the Cubs, and we talked about this already, there's absolutely no need be trading for Manny Machado. And, you know, a couple of the fans he shot down yesterday were complaining about Yu Darvish. And my favorite part about this one caller was the fact that he said that, you know, he really looks at the mechanics and Yu Darvish's mechanics are off, but he doesn't know what is off about his mechanics. So I just love that because he completely contradicted himself in one, you know, in two sentences. How he really focused on mechanics, but can't figure out what's wrong, what's off with his mechanics. Well, if you were focusing on it, then you would know. Well, we've been following him since Ranger Day. But, you know, besides the point, I mean, he made a valid point in which, you know, the rotation is rotation. That's, it's not going to change. You're not trading Darvish. You're not trading anyone that's in the starting rotation. I think you have a playoff caliber, hopefully World Series caliber starting rotation. And then when it comes to the position players, you know, you and I discussed this. While Machado may have, you know, definitely a better bat, are you really going to rank a player and hope that he gets the World Series? Because I really think Chapman helps secure a World Series. I don't think Machado helps secure a World Series in this season. What would help secure a World Series? Need some help in between the starting pitching and Brandon Morrow. And that's who the Cubs are going to focus on. You know, I just don't understand between, you know, the fans and the Chicago media, who are really beginning to sound like basically an extension of the fan. I mean, I get it. You've got to kind of cater to your audience. But, you know, like you said, you not focus on the game as a whole, but only, you know, read the box score for what the local teams are doing. Because I feel like they're not even watching it, or even the highlights.
Well, you know, this was a strange story because it really kind of it got legs out of nowhere. I actually think it was a Chicago Tribune guy who got it started, just writing an odd, you know, just an odd, basically op-ed piece. You know, about, hey, you know, the Cubs trading for Machado, blah, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, and, I mean, it just took off to the point where now, you know, it's a big-time story on the MLB Network. I mean, they're all over it, reporting on it like it's, you know, like it's a fact and it's going to happen. And I'm kind of baffled by it because it's just like, okay, really, this is the, you know, this is how we do things now, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's almost like they're not looking at things common sense wise. I mean, the Cubs have a hard enough time finding at bats for the guys they got. Where in the hell are they going to plug Machado in? I mean, I get that, you know, a Russell or a Baez is going to go, but still, you know, what if they don't? You know, what if the Orioles take Almora and say two or three prospects? Then how the hell do you plug that in?
Because you're not going to get that over.
Right. You know, so it's just kind of like, oh, wow, yeah, I never thought of that. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into making these deals. And, you know, and I mean, yeah, hey, it would be fantastic to have Machado if they could sign him. I don't know why you would bring him in for half a year. I could see maybe doing it, you know, like with you know, like they did with Chapman. Okay, I'm okay with that. You know, you bring Chapman in for, you know, the short little stint like that. That's cool. I get it. But I don't know if this one makes as much sense because you've got a fantastic offense. You know, and I don't know why you wouldn't want to try to repair that bullpen. You know, I mean, there's a lot of veteran setup guys you could go get that could really help you out. You know, and I know the bullpen's been good so far, but I would still rather see, you know, a quality veteran setup guy there. And, I mean, I know we've been over this before, and, you know, this is nothing new to people, but, you know, it's just like, it seems like it makes so much sense, and yet, for whatever reason, nobody seems to kind of see the light. It's like, where is everybody on all this? So,
the days of, well, don't get me wrong, I think the days of high big money contracts is not, it's going to just continue to get bigger. But you know, I think Granny Machado has the age on his side. Although one of the things that was brought up was, you know, let's jump to Manny Machado's shoes for a moment. You've been on a team that's just been kind of middle of the road. And while it would be great to come join the Cubs organization for half a season, I'm Manny Machado. I've been in the league as long as I've been. You've been working your ass off to get to free agency at this point. So regardless of, you know, whoever picks you up, be it the Cubs, I mean, hell, let's just say the Astros or the Dodgers, are you really going to lock yourself in to that team, you know, when you come over? No. No matter what, you're going out on the market. So if I'm Manny Machado, I'm going into any of these post-game interviews saying, you know, exactly what he said, and not worrying about, you know, where he's going to go, because at the end of the day, for that matter, at the end of the season, he's going on the free agent market, and everyone keeps forgetting who his agent is, and his agent's not going to find him to any kind of deal with a trade. I mean, it doesn't even go.
No, you know, why?
Isn't that like, you know?
You know, why would he give that up? I mean, he's gonna go out there and make, you know, especially with the year he's having, I mean, he's looking at probably $300 million. Why is he gonna give that up? You know, just, but yeah, it's such an odd story the way it's just kind of taken off, and it's really so baffling to me.
Would you agree though that when it comes to the free agent market, he goes after Bryce Harper?
You know, it's to the point now where I'm not sure. You know, I mean, you would think, but you know, there's a lot of things going Machado's way that I don't know if people, you know, are looking at that. You know, especially if he's a shortstop. I mean, if you're getting a 300 hitting shortstop with 30 home run power, that's an interesting, you know, kind of add there. I do think Harper still gets more money, because when it boils down to it, I know you're going to buy a ticket to see Bryce Harper before you're going to buy a ticket to see Manny Machado. And in the end, you know, that's what an owner's going to look at is, well, you know, I got to put butts in the seats. And Harper's going to do that. You know, I still don't think Machado has that kind of name value. While he is a great player and, you know, he's one of the best in the game right now, I don't think maybe fans realize that, maybe because he's on a bad team. You know, and then the other thing, you know, I would like to kind of ask Dan, you know, Machado's never been on a winner. Sometimes when guys get the winners, things go different ways. Is it possible that he's that guy?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know how, you know, again, you know, sometimes a guy gets to a, you know, a franchise, a, you know, a big time, you know, high, you know, high end franchise, be it Cubs, Yankees, Red Sox, and all of a sudden they can't produce, you know, because there's going to be more pressure, you know. You know, look at Pablo Sandoval. He was a fantastic player for the Giants. He goes to Boston. He gets a huge contract. And it's literally downhill from the start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fans never gave him an opportunity. The first time he made a mistake, he was too fat. And everybody just ran with that until, you know, it was too late. And basically, yeah, they literally ran him out of town. I mean, you know, we could go the same route here with Starlin Castro. You know, he was the scapegoat for all those Cubs bad teams.
Yeah.
you know, until he finally, you know, until it was finally, okay, well, he's gone. You know, now we've got to try to blame somebody else. And, you know, they blamed Jorge Soler for a little while, and then he left as well.
Yeah.
You know, they're both, you know, oddly, they're both having very good years where they were. You know, Castro was a great player for the Yankees. You know, and he's doing okay with the Marlins. Obviously, he doesn't have a lot of protection there, but he still hits pretty well. And a healthy Jorge Soler is producing, you know, very well so far for the Royals. You know, I mean, you got to see if he stays healthy. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you wonder, does, you know, Machado get with a team and the atmosphere is different and, you know, maybe he's not the number one guy. Maybe there's somebody ahead of him in the pecking order, you know, unlike he's not used to. And, you know, I mean, last year I think he did hit in the 230s. You know, could we, you know, if he repeated that, say, you know, like we talked about Philly before, you know, say just for whatever reason the Phillies end up being the team that acquires him or signs him or whatever, and he goes out and hits 230, those fans are going to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, and you got to wonder, I mean, how would he react to that? Oh, and I was wrong. It was 259 last year. I had to double check myself there. He still hit 33 bombs, but he hit just 259. His career average is 283. That was the lowest number of his career. So I'm guessing he's probably not going to hit 343 the rest of the season. But, hey, maybe. It's a free agent year and guys do weird things.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe you should start just, you know, in addition to your blog, just throw out Manny Machado stories.
Yeah, do we have to start tweeting out, you know, like, I guess what you'd say, fake news, you know, rumors of Machado going here or there, or, you know, maybe we send him to the Rangers because Elvis Andrews is hurt?
Yeah. And who plays shortstop for the Red Sox? Xander Bogaerts, right?
Yeah, how could you forget your guy? Jeez.
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's been 5 years now. I don't know where his contract. I had to think about it for a moment, but at least I said it right away. I didn't have to ask you. But I mean, even with the situation like the Red Sox, I know Machado wants to play short. You know, I mean, how much longer do we worry about Dustin Pedroia if you're in Boston? Can you move Xander over to second base? Room for a guy like Manny Machado in the offseason?
I can tell you that Bogaerts is arbitration eligible next year, but he's a free agent in 2020. And I guarantee you he'll go on the market because his agent is Scott Boras.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, to answer your Pedroia question, I think the answer to that is actually now. You know, he hasn't played a game yet this season. He's had, you know, quite a few injury issues as it is.
Yeah.
The last few, I'm trying to remember. I want to get his stats here so I can look at his game total, because, you know, obviously he got hurt last year, so he didn't play a full season, and he's still recovering from that injury. So let's grab some numbers here and see what we got. Here we go. 105 games last year. He did make it through 154 in 2016. But then it was 93 in 2015. So, you know, he is 34, but he signed through 2020. So they're sitting on three more years after that this deal with him.
Wow, two more. Two and a half. Right,
well, he's got $15 million next year, $13 million in 2020, and $12 million in 2021. So with today's salaries, it's very manageable. You know, the fact that it's coming down is actually a good thing for them. So, but yeah, I think you got to start wondering, you know, is a 34 soon, you know, he'll be 35 in August. Is he still an everyday player? You know, do you have to maybe start looking at him as a different, you know, part-time player, part-time DH type of guy? So,
you know, and how funny would it be though if the Red Sox went after Machado, especially after last year? Of course, not when I was there for the game, but I think it was a day or two after, when Machado kind of spiked for Pedroia, and it caused a huge uproar, and even a couple of suspensions.
Yeah, now, you know, and interestingly, and I know they don't do a lot of interdivision deals like this, but say they actually talked about it. You know, the Red Sox have a quality farm system, but, you know, they also have a young third baseman. You know, they could include that Rafael Devers in a deal, and Bogaerts has played third base before at the major league level. So if you keep Pedroia around with Nunez and Brock Holt over there, you could bump Bogaerts to third and let Machado play short if you included Devers or Devers, or however we're saying it this day of the week, in that deal. You know, again, this just kind of plugs into where you can really assign Machado to any team you want. Just pick a team and we can figure out a way to get him there. So,
or he re-signs with Baltimore.
So, but the other fun rumor I had, I knew you would get a kick out of this. You know, the Astros, obviously, you know, probably the best team in baseball right now. I mean, I don't know. I think the Yankees and the Red Sox may have better records, but it would be tough to argue that Houston's not the best team. Interesting, you know, again, one of these just strange rumors that popped up. And, you know, and I would love to know where they get it from, but of course they never quote their sources, that they could possibly be interested in dealing one of their starting pitchers, and it would be Dallas Keuchel to go away. Now, I've got to tell you, Dan, if I'm a team needing starting pitching and Keuchel's on the market, I can't get on the phone fast enough. What in the hell would make Houston do something like this?
I mean, get rid of left field and play two shortstops?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, I get it. Technically, he has the highest ERA out of their starting five, but it's still 3.43 in the American League, which is fantastic. I mean, do you have to get him out of the rotation because you've got to get Colin McHugh in there? Or, you know, do you want to go back to Chris Davinsky? Or do they have a prospect? I don't even know who the hell the Astros prospects are. You know, do they have a prospect wheeling along that needs to beat the rotation?
Yeah, their number one prospect is a pitcher, but he's out for 60 days.
Oh, is he the guy who got suspended?
Yeah, he's the kid that got suspended.
Oh, jeez, there you go. It was just kind of strange. I mean, you know, it's like we're looking at this team and it's like, wait, we're gonna, oh yeah, here he is, Forrest Whitley.
Yeah.
Oh boy. So yeah, you know, it's like I'm looking at this team and like the last thing I thought I would hear would be, well, yeah, you know, they may move starting pitching. Wait, do all the Astros minor leaguers get suspended for PEDs? Because David Paulino was suspended too. Was that last year?
Yeah, I think it was last year.
Do they pump their guys up in the minors to get the suspension out of the way? Is that how they do it? So,
well, you remember that one pitcher was alleging there's something going on in Houston.
Yeah. You know, because, like, I was thinking, you know, if the Astros were going to add anything, they would add a closer because, you know, Ken Giles is really hot and cold. You know, I wasn't thinking, you know, that they would have to move Dallas Keuchel to go get a closer. But, yeah, I don't get it. I mean, does that make any sense to you at all?
Absolutely none. Why not just trade away your playoff hopes and just give them to another team?
I get it. Okay, he's a free agent at the end of the year. But that still doesn't make sense. I believe he's the only left-hander in the rotation. Because Verlander, Cole, McCullers, and Morton are all right-handers. We know Morton is off to a great start, but he's Charlie Morton. You got to wonder if this continues, and if it does, then I have to question if Trevor Bauer was right and something's going on with the baseball or whatever it is in Houston that they've got going there. So just so you know, Dan, Hector Rondon is 1-1 with a 2.30 ERA and 17 appearances for them. But yeah, if I was a team looking for pitching, man, I would be, they said, hey, you could get Dallas Keuchel, man. I'd be okay. What do you want? I'll rent Dallas Keuchel for a half a year if I'm a contender. He'd look really good in like the Phillies rotation or, the Braves, who are, definitely a team who could use a top of the rotation guy like that. And obviously if you're only renting him, he's not going to cost you as much. Hopefully you could re-sign him, depending on what team he goes to. But, even a team like the Dodgers where, Rich Hill can only go a couple pitches into a game now. Imagine Dallas Keuchel following Clayton Kershaw. I mean, I know it's lefty-lefty, but damn, that would be that would be two big-time lefties after each other. So I don't know. I get baffled by these things. So, all right, let me pull up my FanDuel lineup here for tonight. I actually did manage to win $2 last night with the lineup I threw out at you. So we had a little success, not quite the huge, money winner that of course we wanted, but we plugged something together tonight and let's see if we can, maybe keep the streak going. I'm going with Chris Sale on the mound. Now, he is 11,500, but I really think he's the best matchup out there tonight. So as you'll see, I'll have to save money in other places. But I think I did a nice job of picking some guys who could really pay off for me. So, yeah, going with Sale. My catcher first baseman today, I'm going with Chris Davis. Obviously, since he's in this position, it's the Baltimore Orioles' Chris Davis. He's hitting fifth for them. Only cost me $2,200. So I'm going to plug him in there. My second baseman, I'm going with Josh Harrison. Just back off the DL on Sunday. He's came off. I know he was 3-for-4 on Sunday. I didn't see. Did they play yesterday? Maybe he was off. But only cost me $2,900, and he's in the leadoff spot for the Pirates. So I'm hoping that plugs out for me there. Third base, I got another Oriole. First time in a long time, I think I've had two Orioles in my lineup, and neither of them are Manny Machado. Pedro Alvarez hitting sixth for them, only cost me $2,700. Shortstop, I'm jumping on the Didi bandwagon. Didi Gregorius hitting fifth for the Yankees tonight, $3,800. So his price tag is up a little, but hopefully Didi's going to be the guy tonight. My outfield, I go back to the Yankees again. I'm looking at Aaron Judge hitting second for them. He paid off last night for me, so I'm going again for $4,900. Then we're going to save a little more money here. Domingo Santana hitting fifth for the Brewers tonight cost me just $2,300. And then the big-time money saver, I'm on the Robbie Grossman bandwagon tonight. He's hitting second for the Twins, just $2,000 for Robbie Grossman. So I'm hoping another payoff for a low-money guy. And then my utility guy, and I hope Dan's not listening because he'll probably be upset, but I'm going with this guy, Ben Zobrist, for $2,700. He's leading off for the Cubs tonight, so I'm looking to pick up some of those extra at-bats and hopefully, I'm not a fan. I haven't been a Ben Zobrist fan since he left Tampa Bay. I used to love him in fantasy there because then he played about every position. But he's my utility guy tonight, so I'm plugging him in for $2,700. So here's your recap. Chris Sale is my pitcher. Chris Davis of the Orioles at the catcher first base slot. Josh Harrison at second. Pedro Alvarez at third. Didi Gregorius at short. My outfield is Aaron Judge, Domingo Santana, and Robbie Grossman. And my utility guy is Ben Zobrist. So there you go. That's a 6:05 start here. So you still got some time to plug your guys in the lineup. Now, I did Home Run Derby, of course. You know, I have Mike Trout, who's batting second tonight for the Angels against the Blue Jays. And then I have Bryce Harper, who's batting second for the Nationals against the Padres tonight. But my third guy tonight, I decided to mix it up a little. I'm going to go with Justin Turner. I don't have the Dodger lineup yet, so I have to come back to make sure he's confirmed. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Justin Turner against Colorado tonight and see if I can pay off a little there. I did manage to hit a home run last night. I think it was just one. I believe it was Bryce Harper. So that was my only positive there. I thought I was going to get good news from Dan there on the Home Run Derby, because I think he had JD Martinez yesterday, and I believe he hit two bombs. So I thought maybe he would come up. Or no, it was Mark Reynolds. He had Mark Reynolds who hit two bombs last night. So yeah, but I don't know if he had Harper. He at least got the three. We'll have to find out what happened to Dan, how he did after that. So, but yeah, you only needed four to tie, you know, to get into the money there. So maybe Dan was close. You know, it could be interesting there. But yeah, you know, that's what I'm rolling out tonight. And then then randomly, for some reason, FanDuel added $5 to my account on the gist that I use it by Thursday. So obviously I have to run out and play, you know, five games or spend some money on some games or something like that, you know. So I'll have to find a way to use that money up. So we'll have to see how it goes for me. But I thank them for that, and I will gratefully spend your money, no problem. And I don't know if Dan has noticed yet, but there is a NASCAR free play for this week. So that makes us both happy, because I've enjoyed doing the NASCAR. But I'm not super confident on spending money on it yet. So the fact that this is a free play really helps me out.
Yeah, well, that basically got to grab people to do it, right? Especially since Yahoo really flaked on their fantasy for NASCAR.
So I was wondering there, how did you do at Home Run Derby? Because Mark Reynolds hit two last night. Did you have anybody else come through? Did you have Harper and get that third one?
I'm at that point where they're not letting me. I'll tweet that out later. But no, I didn't win any money. So.
Because you needed four. Yeah, you needed four, and I was like, well, holy crap, Dan got two out of one guy. I've never gotten two out of one guy before. So I was like, wow, you know, maybe one of us finally did something.
Yeah. Well, I went back to the well, though. I went with Betts and Harper tonight, so.
Maybe we'll have to see if it pays off for you. We'll have to, we'll have to hope or see, you know.
Well, I did have Didi in my lineup last night, and I don't think he did any home run.
Yeah, no, I know he didn't homer. So he's in my FanDuel lineup tonight, though, so he better have a good night. So
I did get an invite to a free roll tonight. Actually, I think it was that one you invited me to, but I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah. So that was nice. Definitely. I always send you all my fun, you know, the fun stuff I get, you know. Oh. So, but all right, well, interestingly, Dan, and to no surprise to, I believe, you and or I, the Cavaliers managed to win both their games at home against the Celtics.
Wow.
How shocked were you, Dan? Were you just off your rocker because they managed to couple wins at home?
I mean, I was actually working out while the game was going on, and I almost dropped the weights on my feet because I was so surprised.
yeah, I just don't – you know, nobody's ever going to be able to convince me that the NBA doesn't have a hand in these series going like this. You know, like, I fully expect, you know, the Warriors to win a game at home and that series to go six games. And I fully expect this series to go seven games with the Cavaliers and the Celtics. Maybe it goes six, depending on if they want LeBron to wrap it up early. But, yeah, you can't convince me at all that the NBA doesn't have a huge hand in it. And I really thought I was going to get some people on my side. I forgot who it was. But somebody put a tweet out of one of the plays, and this was from game three. I don't remember what Celtic it is, but he's going up for basically a chip shot. He's about 2 feet away from the basket. And LeBron literally mugs him. I mean, he fouled him so badly that his jersey came untucked. And not only was there no whistle, but the ball went out of bounds, and I believe the referees gave it to the Cavaliers. So it was just kind of like, yeah, okay. But, you know, this is what the NBA is. I mean, people talk about professional wrestling being fake. The NBA is pretty much, especially the playoffs, are just as scripted as probably any match you're going to see on WWE TV.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I was just really getting in and buying the hype with when the Warriors were really coming up, and it was like, yay, we've got a team, you know, I mean, but that first year it was really exciting to watch, maybe because I really hadn't been into the playoffs and I just started really getting back into the NBA. But, you know, and it has nothing to do with how exciting the hockey playoffs have been. Because I think if it were on an even level playing field, that I'd still get into the NBA. But it just, you know, when you, and, you know, and it, I think what sucks about it too is it's not just you and I, you know, even every broadcaster knows, every broadcaster even brings it up. That, you know, it's hard to get behind the league when before this season even started, or pretty much after the finals last year, you talk NBA, you already knew, well, it's going to be the Warriors and the Cavaliers in the finals again. Wait, we haven't even had the draft yet. Man, it doesn't matter. We haven't even had, you know, summer camp yet. Man, it doesn't matter. Are you watching summer league basketball? What for? Cavaliers and the Warriors are going to be the team in the finals. So it's, you know, it's one of those where it's almost feudalistic where you kind of go back and, you know, they were ordained by God, so to speak. And there's no way around it. So you either just go with it and let royalty kind of continue to reign, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's nice to see, like, the Rockets pop up because they look like real competition to the Warriors.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, I don't think the NBA really cares who wins that series. You know, I think they would like to see, you know, Cavaliers, Warriors, because, you know, it would be, what, best of three then? I think each team is 1-1 or something like that. You know, so they could play it up as, you know, the showdown type of series. But I think if they got Houston, they would be really happy with it. You know, the problem with Boston is while they're a good team and they play really good team concept basketball, without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, there's absolutely no marketable value there for the NBA to get behind. And that's exactly what they want.
Well, and not only that, I mean, you know, one of the things I was thinking about was, you know, saying flat out, oh, I'm not going to watch the NBA until LeBron's out of it, you know, maybe the playoffs. But then I started thinking, well, you know, not for my own personal agenda or however you want to call it, but with the way the NBA has marketed the NBA being LeBron's league, what happens when he's no longer there? I mean, do they have 10 years left? Because they need it. They're going to need it. Because once LeBron James is gone, Yeah, you're gonna have Kevin Durant, and I feel like Steph Curry's star is starting to fade. You know, his just the whole presence, I think, is starting to fall. I think he had his time, but you know, when it comes to that, yeah, you're gonna have the guys like Kevin Durant, and give me some other names. I don't know, but you're not gonna have that super marketable guy like LeBron James. And it's not because you don't have it. I'm sure there's guys in there that could be really marketable, like Blake Griffin, but I think after he punched his friend and trainer in the face, that kind of just put a nice little stigma towards him. That knocks him down a few pecks because he's not on TV anymore. Who do you have left? Because the NBA doesn't market anybody.
Well, they'll have, remember, though, Dan, they're going to have three balls in the league by then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but even that, I mean, I was all for LeBron, whatever ball, Lorenzo, Lorenzo, how the hell do you say his name again? Lonzo.
Which?
Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
There we go.
Lonzo's the one in the league now, yeah.
But, I mean, he's not, when you think about it, he's really not all that marketable. I think he's going to bring something to the Lakers, and I think he's going to continue to get better and be a true point guard for that team. But I don't think he's going to be, you know, LeBron James star status. I think he's going to be big there in L.A.
What about LiGello and what's the other one? Ludacris.
Melo.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that still remains to see if they'll even, you know, really make it to the league or not. But, you know, I mean, you've got a plethora of stars, but the way the NBA has marketed itself, they've left these guys out. And I think that's been an issue, and that's a problem. And you went muffled away.
I said, what's the youngest one's name? I forgot.
LaMelo.
So.
But, I mean, that's the whole problem with the NBA, though. You've got 30, 32 teams. I don't remember the exact number. But you've got to get away from the whole one-time thing. You're not going to have another Jordan. You're not going to have another Kobe. You're not going to have another LeBron. Neither one of those three wanted to be each other. And they have to get away from that sort of marketing and thinking. Especially in today's age with the way you can market everything and the way everything's online and the accessibility to the world. You've got to get away from relying on one guy to be your face of your company, WWE.
You know, remember, though, you know, Kobe and Michael and all those other guys wanted to kill each other.
Yeah. Yeah, but that doesn't really have much to do about marketability of the police.
Look over to the Facebook page, and like the dog is a cool thing. You can ask for somebody. You know, I'm getting that on Twitter. I always appreciate you for coming along. Like the dog is available for you. Whenever you want to go, you can always do it.